The Iron Game Chalk Talk Podcast is brought to you by the following sponsors: EliteForm.com, IgnitionAPG.com, PlayUSA at PLAEUSA.com, and Sorinex Exercise Equipment at Sorinex.com. And now, the Iron Game Chalk Talk Podcast. Welcome to Iron Game Chalk Talk with your host, Ron McKeefer.
Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go! Let's go! Everything you got!
On this podcast, hear Coach McKeefer's straight talk about training, featuring the top strength and conditioning professionals from around the world. And now, here's your host, Ron McKeefer.
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Ron McKeefer, and this is episode number 94. Iron Game Chalk Talk is a weekly podcast where I bring you experts in the field to talk shop. If you haven't already done so, please subscribe to us on iTunes, YouTube, or join the mailing list at ronmckeefer.com to stay up to date with the latest guests and anything else that I have going on. This week, super excited to have Rachel Balkovec with us. Rachel is the first female professional baseball strength coach out there, and she works for the St. Louis Cardinals. She heads up their minor league system, and it's just it's always great to have pioneers on the show, and she's pioneering a way there in professional baseball and doing it at a high level, and just an all around. A great person. And so, you know, we get into a lot of things on this episode. We get into talk a little bit about the steps that she took to break down some barriers that prevailed, some things that obviously along the way, there's always hiccups and challenges. And so we get into that. And, you know, it's just a great motivating episode for anybody that's trying to accomplish something that, you know, maybe hasn't been walked down that path already. So I know you're going to get a ton out of this episode. Before we get started, we want to make sure we recognize all of our sponsors. We have Sorinex.com, PlayUSA, of course, EliteForm, and Ignition. But, you know, I want to make sure we take a little bit of time and talk about Play. Play, if you're right now, this is the clinic season, right? And they are fully involved with almost every single clinic that is out there right now. And they do it not because that's going to be the way that they all of a sudden change the bottom dollar. But what they're doing is they're investing in what's important to strength coaches. And what's important to strength coaches is going out there, continually sharpening the sword and learning. And they, Rich and Brett and the gang there at Play, they understand the value in that and in helping coaches continue to do what they love to do. And so if you would, please go to their Facebook page. Just Play Performance Sport Flooring on Facebook. Like the page. Stay up to date with what they got going on. Do me a favor. Go on there and thank them for being involved with Iron Game Chalk Talk, because, again, this is their way of helping continue to bring education, bring resources to strength coaches. And I know these guys on a personal level. They've totally been supporting me since day one here. And they do it not from a return on investment standpoint, but they do it on the fact that they purely want to be there and be supportive of the strength and conditioning coach. If you're looking for sports performance flooring right now, you cannot go wrong with their products. They are operate at an extremely high level right now. And so they can definitely get you quotes or just have a conversation about what the different types of flooring are and different options and things that you need to bring up in those early stages of planning so that you get the floor that's the right type of flooring for your need. So reach out to them there through their Facebook page, their Twitter, or you can go through ronmckeefer.com as well, and I'll make sure to pass along to them. So make sure you check out Play and thank them for supporting the show. Lastly, strength-ondemand.com. Strength on Demand is an online archive of strength and conditioning clinic presentations that myself and Rob Taylor put together. We continue to grab content from different clinics that are out there, loaded onto Strength on Demand. And so it's 60 plus presentations, clinic presentations that maybe you're not able to get to all these clinics right now and you just want to continue to sharpen the sword, you can do it on your time from anywhere you got an internet connection and watch different presentations. So as our staff, we log on and we'll watch one and we'll talk about it and talk a little shop, and it's extremely affordable and just, again, trying to put resources out there that benefit strength coaches. So check that out, strength-ondemand.com. Want to get to this episode? Know you're really going to enjoy it. Sit back, take lots of notes, and we'll see you on the other side. All right, guys, welcome back. Have Rachel Balkovec with us. And Rachel and I just really met this last weekend, actually, at the NSCA Coaches Conference. And awesome story, awesome person. And as soon as I met her, I was like, we got to have her on the show. And because she's going to motivate not just our female strength coaches, but any strength coach that has an aspiration of getting a professional career in sport. And so, Rachel, truly appreciate you coming on the show.
Thanks, Ron. Appreciate it. I'm glad to be here. So honored that you contacted me about it. Just pretty stoked.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, let's get into that journey a little bit. Let's talk about kind of, you know, first why you got into strength and conditioning, and then kind of what led you down to the current position you're in.
Well, no doubt the reason I got into strength and conditioning was because of my career as an athlete. I struggled for any of you out there listening that played baseball. I had the yips in college pretty bad. I don't even know if you know what that is, Ron, but it's basically I was a catcher. I couldn't throw back to the pitcher. It was really traumatic. It was terrible and embarrassing. but I did really excel in the weight room. I was that girl on the team. I was one of the hardest workers. I was a catcher, but I was still really fast. I was explosive. I mean, I just really took to the weight room. And I said, you know, hey, why not make it a career? I was exercise science and kind of going down the physical therapy route, but I definitely knew, you know, I wanted to work with athletes in the end. So one of my mentors at the time, I kind of just asked him where would be the best place to go to get an internship for my undergraduate degree. And he said, Athletes Performance. Mm-hmm. So I went to Athletes Performance in Pensacola and worked there for a summer. Loved doing it, but I definitely missed the team setting. And I knew that I wanted to be in college athletics. So when I was down there, my roommate was actually a javelin thrower at LSU. And so she took me back to Baton Rouge, which was a short hike over to Louisiana.
Right.
Different place, but totally. I really liked it. I met the Olympic director, Melissa Moore, there. And she, you know, we hit it off and she ended up offering me a graduate assistant position at LSU. About 2 years at LSU, I left LSU and almost immediately the Cardinals had called LSU and asked to recommend someone, and they recommended me. And so I was immediately hired with the Cardinals to work for one of their minor league affiliates. And at that time I'm not positive because I'm not sure, like there's a part-time kind of thing going on in professional baseball, but I think I was the first female at that time to be like a minor league coach, but I wasn't considered a full-time coach. Mm-hmm. So after that season, it was more or less an internship. After that season, I left. I went to the Dominican Republic. I worked in baseball over there. There's a winter league there, so there's plenty of major league players that go down and play in the Dominican winter league. So I worked in their front office, learned a lot of Spanish. I knew that was going to help me because I wanted to work in baseball, and I knew that, you know, with all the Latin American players we have, that was just really going to benefit me. So after leaving the Dominican, I came back, moved straight to Phoenix. I thought I was going to start a PhD. Stopped that process. I was in Phoenix, so I kind of said, well, there's a lot of baseball teams out here, and there's, you know, Arizona State. So I linked up with Arizona State, volunteered for them for a semester, worked for the White Sox, started applying for baseball jobs again, and then the Cardinals called me sometime around Christmas and, you know, asked me if I was interested in the coordinator position, and obviously I said yes, and here I am.
Awesome.
Well, that's one story.
But it's a great one, you know, and it's a story of persistence, and it's a story of, you know, setting a goal and going and getting it, and, you know, and that's what's really neat. I mean, to become the first female pro baseball strength coach is quite an accomplishment, but it didn't come without its challenges, you know, I'm sure, you know, and so what do you feel were some of the nuggets from some of the steps that you took to kind of to overcome that barrier, you know?
I would say, I think I kind of made that sound kind of easy, but I do know that there were a minimum five or six organizations that turned me down because of my gender.
Sure.
And that, you know, one organization actually told that to me to my face, which is a little risky. I don't recommend that for anyone.
That's right.
But the other, you know, the other organizations, I would just hear through the grapevine, you know, I either had a friend in the organization that would say, oh, well, my boss really likes your resume, but, you know, he can't hire you or so on. So I would just kind of hear through the grapevine that that was the reason I wouldn't get a job. And I would say along those lines, selective hearing is something that I learned. There are plenty of people that told me, first of all, told me no. Second of all, told me, don't do it. You're never going to get the respect of the guys. You're never going to, you might be a minor league strength coach, but you'll never be able to be a coordinator or a major league strength coach. You know, my own family too would say, Rachel, when are you going to just, you know, go get a college job, get a paying job. Because I worked so many internships and I had so many colleges contact me just from my contacts at LSU saying, right, you know, you're interested in this job. But truthfully, it was all jobs that I had no experience in. It was women's lacrosse, women's soccer, track. I had none of that on my resume. I had baseball all over my resume, and I wasn't getting those opportunities that I wanted. So I just, right, as hard as it was some SEC schools, Pac-12 schools, I said no, I wasn't interested, even though that was really hard to do at the time when you're making zero money.
Oh, yeah.
So I would just say two things, selective hearing, don't listen. If you are convicted and you know you want to do something, you have to be willing to let things go in one ear and go out the other, because there are going to be plenty of people that tell you you can't do it or you shouldn't do it or, you know, it's time to get a real job or whatever the situation is. Second thing is hard work always pays off. Don't shy away from taking some steps back in your career to take a giant leap forward.
Absolutely.
In your career. It's after I already had my master's, I had, you know, professional baseball experience. I had worked in an SEC school for my graduate assistantship. I then had to go back and volunteer for free at Arizona State, and I was working for the White Sox doing kind of a, you know, internship for $30 a day.
Mm-hmm.
So needless to say, I was broke, and I was getting a little frustrated, but not too bad. But in the end, my hard work and my willingness to, you know, do those jobs that nobody else wants to do paid off big time.
No doubt. Well, you don't know this about me, but my first job was actually in pro baseball. I worked for the Royals as my first job. So
I didn't know that about you.
So I'm definitely aware of that long process that you have to take to make it. And it's very much the same. Almost as a player, you know, you're going through all the A affiliates and you kind of work your way up. And that's obviously what you had to do. But, you know, I there's a couple key things that I want to pull out of that. One is that you took advantage of an opportunity. And some people would say, you know, this is something that I talk to my interns about. And I'm, you know, sometimes I'm too blunt for my own good, you know, but I'll tell our, you know, I'll tell our female strength coaches, I'll tell our African-American strength coaches, I'll tell our strength coaches that are bilingual. You know, hey, take advantage of that. You know, go find those opportunities, and whatever's going to get you in the door, take it. You know, use it. But now here's the thing: is that you have to be good to stay. You know, and that's just it. I mean, yeah, you might have, you know, checked a box in some HR form that gives you maybe a little bit of a leg up, but if you're not good, especially at the level which you're at or other coaches, then it's not going to happen. So you have to fully be prepared, and you have to be prepared to earn respect and all those types of things. So, you know, I think there's so many coaches out there that you know, they're so cognizant of, well, I don't want to be hired because I'm African-American, or I don't want to be hired because I'm a female. Hey, man, get hired. Get hired.
I mean, that's the only reason I was turning down those, you know, college jobs is because I knew I wanted to be in professional baseball, and I didn't want to sit down at my desk and then apply for another job.
Absolutely.
But I mean, for me, it's like, if you know you're skilled and you've put in the time and you've been mentored and so on and so forth, I don't see anything wrong with that. It's how it is. Unfortunately, I don't think HR is pushing any professional baseball team to hire females right now, but hopefully, you know, that gives us opportunities in the future. I mean, I don't, there's no shame attached to that. And I mean, it is what it is, and you should take advantage of those opportunities that you get.
Sure. You know, but I think the other thing that you said in there, that I really like is, you know, we talk about it, and what I use the term with our interns is and staff is, it's strategic moves. You know, like, you had opportunities there, and you know, I took, you know, as Kansas City Royals, got offered the AAA job right out of college. You know, so it's a pretty good job, right? You got your, you know, your one spot away, and you're making pretty good money. And I really did pro baseball so that I could say that I worked professional athletes so I can be more attractive to an NFL program, which is what my ultimate goal was, right? I wanted to go play, I wanted to go in the NFL. And so, but along the way, I made strategic moves to make that happen, just like you did, where it's like, okay, well, I'm not going to just sit on my thumbs and wait for something to come my way. I'm going to go and I'm going to volunteer at Arizona State. I'm going to go work in the front office in the Dominican Republic. I'm going to go whatever, you know, and all those things led to you having the skill set that you have today to be able to be successful. So I think that's fantastic. You know, you mentioned earlier the respect of the athletes, and I think that's big. I mean, obviously, anytime you knock down some of those walls and those barriers, all of a sudden now becomes the, all right, well, is she capable or is he capable of the job? And and not just with female athletes working with male athletes or things like that, but it's also, I think, you know, so many times as a coach, and I'll be honest with you, I mean, I've been this way, my own insecurities is like, I played college football, I love college football, I'm good at college football, you know, I'm good at coaching college football players. I never really had to coach a softball player or a track athlete or, you know, a swimmer, you know, and I personally have a hard time going in there with that credibility, being like, yeah, I know what you're going through. I know how to get you better at your sport, when I don't even know the dang rules of your sport sometimes, you know? So talk a little bit about how, you know, all right, so you go in, you've met some challenges, maybe a little bit of resistance on like, how's she really going to get me better? But also how you've been able to overcome the fact that it's like, okay, well, that's not really, I mean, you didn't walk down the same path they're walking. So how can you really relate?
Well, I mean, I would say that, you know, at least the rules in baseball and softball are pretty similar.
Yeah, no doubt.
I know the game enough, you know. But there are those, like, key opportunities that you have to prove yourself, you know, as far as being able to walk the walk with them. And there are some instances, not a lot, and it's definitely not like, you know, I don't just go out there and I'm a player, but there are some instances where I need to throw a baseball, or I need to throw with a guy who needs a partner, maybe in a rehab group or something.
Right.
So when I pick up a ball and I can actually, you know, look like an athlete doing it, not the whole, I hate to say it, but the cliche, throw like a girl.
Right.
That's important to them.
Sure.
And it's I know that people don't want to talk about that, or they don't want to acknowledge that that's important. But that is important. Or say, you know, and this is not something that I do all the time either, but it's like, there was one time last year when I first got hired that one of our, you know, bigger name players said to me, "What? 10 pull-ups? You can't even do 10 pull-ups." And I was like, oh no, like, I'm going to have to do it.
Yep.
I have to do it. So I got up there, I actually only got 8, I think, you know, but he was like, oh, all right. Like, okay, you know, she can get 8, I better get 10, you know?
That's right.
So it is, I never want to say or underestimate the ability to walk the walk or to be an athlete. And I think they give me a little slack. Like, they know I'm a girl. There's no way I'm going to play professional baseball. It just wasn't going to happen for me. But I did play college, you know, Division I softball. And, you know, they'll give me a little bit of credit for being able to do that. And then also, this is also something that we don't want to talk about or that people don't want to admit. But for me, it's extremely important that myself and my staff – and the major league strength coach feels this way as well, that we are lifters. We practice what we preach. You know, we eat. You're able to lift weights, or you have really great technique, even if you're a smaller woman or a smaller guy, you have wonderful technique and you're able to do those things. It's very important to me. You know, when I'm looking at hiring a staff or within myself.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. You know, I think, again, when you're thrown in those situations, it ultimately comes back to what ultimately wins the athlete over is the investment in them, you know, and the relationship building piece. And, you know, provided you're going to be a role model in your area, be it strength and conditioning coach and be it, you know, a lifter yourself and all those types of things, or the former athlete. I mean, that stuff goes by the wayside when it's really like go time. And are you going to have my back? Or are you really there for me? Or are you really there for you? And I think that ultimately wins out in the long run.
Yeah, I mean, that's the physical side of things. Like them, you know, them knowing that I played softball and such. That was like a nice little introduction thing. But once you get past that, if they know they care about you, it's like they don't care who you are. You know, it doesn't matter if you're, you know, female, black, white, man, it doesn't matter. Right. If they know that you care about them and you care about their career, they'll be eating out of your hand no matter who you are. And that's, I mean, something with the Latin American players for sure. If you're willing, I mean, I'm not fluent in Spanish by any means. Right. I stumble over my words. I make a fool of myself on a daily basis. And they'll let me know about it if I, you know, say something wrong in Spanish. But the fact that I'm even trying to learn their language in order to help them, oh, man, they just, you know, they will definitely buy into whatever you say if they know that you care about them enough to learn another language right. to be able to communicate with them better. That says the world to them.
Absolutely. So with professional baseball and you know, obviously, you know, you got athletes coming and going all the time, you know, they're traveling a lot. They're you might have them for a week and then they're off to whatever affiliate that they may be playing for. You know, how, you know, the programming piece, how do you go about kind of writing a program that's universal kind of across the board that can be done in the hotel room or in the Gold's Gym or in the the facility?
It's a challenge I think that some collegiate strength coaches shy away from, or they look at it and they're like, oh, I don't want to do that. But that's kind of why I wanted to get into baseball, is to kind of advance the field of strength and conditioning in professional baseball. And, you know, there's really, for us, we are very fortunate that the Major League strength coach, Pete Prinze, he's been here for 17 years. He's really created a really good culture in this organization. It's not like this in every baseball organization, but I would say we definitely have a nice little culture going in the fact that we get two lifts in a week pretty much no matter what, and that's in season. And also, you know, for anybody listening who doesn't realize, baseball, you play a game every single day. We have one off day every 24 days, I believe it is, and that's usually like a travel day, right. So they could be on a bus for 10 hours.
Right.
So not only, you know, how do you deal with the challenges of them being moving around everywhere, you get lifts in on the road usually. But also, they're playing every day. It's not normal in season where you might have two or three competitions a week. No, you've got a game every day, and you're going to lift on your game day pretty much every time.
Right.
So, definitely an array of challenges. Luckily, no hotel workouts are going on. Usually, by now, like, you know, the game gets better every year, but by now, usually there's, like, a road gym that you can go to. But right. It might be a Gold's Gym, for sure.
Sure.
All of our affiliates, besides one right now, have a gym on site as well. Which has also changed the past 5 years. This definitely was not like that, you know, 10 years ago. But we typically are able to get in, you know, a lift at home and then on the road, like once, you know, in a week.
Right.
As far as programming goes, I don't think that anybody in baseball has it down to a science just yet, because they are playing every day. So you really have to pay attention to weightlifting doesn't take precedence over your game.
Yeah. Never.
You really have to listen to the athlete, and if they're, you never want to have a fatigued guy come in and doing a max effort day. It just, you know, it doesn't work, and then they can't perform.
Mm-hmm.
The way that we're doing it is a non-linear conjugate. We have basically one day a week where we're trying to do a dynamic effort day, and one day a week where we do a max effort day, and we keep the reps pretty low. So our overall volume is fairly low. And then we're also trying to add in speed stuff. We used it last year. We used Tendo. This year we might be using some other bar speed methods. I'm not really sure what we're using yet, so I won't even say it. But we did use Tendo last year.
Yeah.
And it worked out really well. And the guys, you know, instead of competing for weight on the bar, they compete for the speed.
Sure.
So that kind of keeps them out of, you know, maybe overdoing it and then having to go play a game that night. That's what we use in season. Out of season, you know, that brings up another challenge. We don't have our athletes in the off season.
Right.
So, you know, whereas obviously most colleges, that's like your prime time lifting. You get really good team lifts in. Everyone's really into it. You're putting a lot of weight on the bar. We don't even see our athletes in the off season most of the time.
Right.
So that's pretty tough for us. Something that we're using for continuity, so we can put a program in place that everyone can use all the way from our lowest rookie league level all the way up to the big leagues, as we're using online tracking.
Yeah.
So all of our programs are actually written up, as opposed to an Excel sheet that you just hand out, you write down, and then, you know, the sheet gets lost somewhere in oblivion. We actually write down our workouts online. We use teambuilder.com. And it's just a platform for us. We plug in the workout and it goes to whoever we want it to go to. We obviously have different for pitchers, position, within position, individualization, right, other things like that. But we can send the workout to the athlete, and they fill in their weights online, and then we get to see what they're doing.
Sure.
Now, in season, that works beautifully. Off season, obviously, they could say whatever they want to. Yeah. We don't know. But ultimately, like I said, Pete Prinze, you know, has created a nice enough culture to where we don't have a lot of problems with guys coming in not having worked out for the off season. They actually want to work out and get stronger and come in shape to spring training. So, and if anything, honestly, we have trouble keeping guys out of the weight room sometimes. Right. So it's, like I said, I have to give a lot of credit to, you know, Pete. He's done a really good job of creating that culture over the past, you know, 15 years here.
Sure. Yeah, and baseball in and of itself has done a great job of the culture changing. And, you know, I mean, it was, what, 17, 18 years ago now for me. But, I mean, it was quite a bit different then than it was now, for sure.
Yeah.
You know? You know, with those same challenges, you know, and athletes traveling as much and doing, you know, and coming and going and all those things, recovery is obviously a challenge. Nutrition is obviously a challenge. Is there anything that the Cardinals are doing that you feel like are game changers when it comes to, you know, getting your athletes to recover, getting them to eat correctly?
Well, actually, I would have to credit Major League Baseball with a lot of that, and I'll talk a little bit about what we do. But Major League Baseball is really doing a good job of mandating, basically, for the entire professional baseball world that we have to provide supplements for them for free. So kind of like what the NCAA has recently done with, you know, expanding the ability to provide food for your athletes.
Right.
We actually are able to provide all the supplements for our athletes. So they get protein, they get BCAAs, they get their pre-workout if they want it. It's all there for them, which actually adds a lot to our ability to make sure they have enough calories and enough just basic nutrition to recover.
Right.
As you know, for sure, minor league baseball players are on a very tight budget. They don't get paid a lot. Some guys get that big signing bonus. Other guys get $1,000 and a handshake.
Right.
So they're working with a really small budget. So especially for those guys and a lot of our Latin American players who really have trouble putting on weight, being able to provide protein to them, you know, at a moment's notice is really wonderful. And the Cardinals have done a really great job of backing us up with that and giving us more than we need to make sure that they, you know, they have that. Nutrition-wise, we actually last year really stepped it up with nutrition. We have basically a local university here, FAU, catering in.
Mm-hmm.
And they cater in for us and cover all of our meals through spring training and then do it for two of our affiliates through the rest of the year pretty much. On the road, definitely has been improved in the past couple of years with the Cardinals. When the players go to their affiliates, I should say, we definitely put an emphasis on nutrition with the guys. So they have, like, our clubbies, if they're buying the food, our strength coach, if they're buying the food, there's an emphasis on buying quality food and not just peanut butter and jelly, even though it happens more than I would like it to.
Sure.
Peanut butter and jelly is, like, a main food group for sure. But there's also, like, we're putting a lot more emphasis on educating the players so that when they're, you know, they're on their own a lot, just like the college athletes are, when they are on their own or when they're given maybe meal money and we're not able to provide the meal for them, they're given meal money to go out and get it, that they're buying the right things. Now I'm not naive enough to say that they don't go to Taco Bell at 2 o'clock in the morning after a game. That's, you know, that's going to happen. But I definitely think we're on the upswing. Something else that Major League Baseball is doing, I think, is wonderful is that they're actually mandating that we have, like, sleep protocols. They're mandating that we have nutrition protocols posted for our athletes. So they're really, you know, pushing the field of strength and conditioning forward in professional baseball as much as we're doing on our end. So that's awesome.
Yeah, no, it's so each individual club has their own sleep protocols, or is Tim Maxey and those guys putting stuff out that everybody's trying to kind of sync up with?
No, I mean, they're basically, at this point anyway, they're basically mandating or calling our attention to the fact that we need to have those for our athletes. Like, Tim Maxey is doing a really good job of basically pushing the envelope and saying, like, it's not good enough just to say, okay, yeah, we'll get to it. It's something that we're actually required to do, or that we're, strongly encouraged to do for athletes. Yeah.
Tim was my first boss, so it,
what? Yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah, no, he's a fantastic person. I got lots of stories about Tim.
Oh, lots great! I'd love to hear.
The I think obviously that's it's a challenging sport, and so I mean it's always changing. You got to constantly sharpen the sword. What are some ways, you know, that you continually learn and stay cutting edge for your athletes and kind of make sure that you're staying on top of your game?
Well, I would say, a couple different things. First of all, going to the conferences it's just like, it's such a wonderful thing to do. I mean, I know that it does cost some money, obviously. And, about a year ago, I was flat broke and I still had to find a way to figure out to get to those conferences. Not only obviously the speakers that go to the conference, obviously NSCA did, I think, a phenomenal job this year. I really enjoyed the speakers. And also Major League Baseball, they put on, I'm not even sure if you know this, but they put on Professional Baseball Strength and Conditioning Coaches Society.
Yeah.
It's our group of strength coaches. They put on a phenomenal conference this year. I mean, just the speakers were just like great refreshers, but also new things, what everyone else is doing. You just, you kind of at times you get stuck in your own way, or you just, you do one thing and you forget that there's so many other ways to do it. So going to those conferences and listening to other people speak, it's like, man, I used to do that. Why don't I do that anymore? Or, hey, I didn't even think about that. Or, I mean, it's just really, for me, I just love talking to other people about what they're doing. Right. So not only the speakers, but obviously getting in touch with other strength coaches and just, it happens maybe sitting around a dinner where you just start talking about something that you're doing and then that, lights a fire for you, or, a light bulb goes off and you're like, oh, that's it. That's what I've been missing.
No doubt.
So going to those conferences, absolutely paramount. I would encourage people to step outside the box. Don't just be good at what you're good at. You have to know your weaknesses. So for me, I'm going to a PRI course. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, Postural
Institute. Something that I think, some strength coaches are probably gonna hit the pause button on this and say, all right, who is this chick? But I'm good at Olympic lifting. I feel like that's one of my strong suits. So why am I gonna go to another course about Olympic lifting?
Sure.
I feel like one of my weaknesses might be, PRI, something to do with dynamic neural stabilization, like those kind of like peripheral things that might be the future of strength and conditioning, and it's good to start now.
No doubt.
And then also, that's kind of probably more towards the athletic training side, but getting to know like their side of things, so not only can you more effectively communicate, but you can have an integrated program to where you're, trying to do some injury prevention on our end, not just leaving it all up to them. So PRI is something that, not that I'm going to recommend, but just in general, something that I would say that is one of my weaknesses. I'm not, super intelligent about that area. I'm going to go do that.
Right.
So it's kind of a more general concept. Reading, I don't read as much as I'd like to, but I definitely have a book on my desk at all times. So,
sure.
Yeah, definitely. I think that about a year ago, I just said, I'm going to dedicate 30 minutes per day. And 30 minutes per day is a lot of time.
It is.
Over a week or a month. 30 minutes per day, it's such a short amount of time, but it adds up to a lot. So reading is one of my weaknesses, I will say that. But I get it done.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, I know, you're not just committed to being a great strength coach, but you're also committed to giving back. And so you've started, you've started getting out and speaking to young female athletes and trying to empower, the next generation of potential strength coaches and athletes, and just getting confidence through sport and things like that. Kind of talk about your initiative there.
I just have recently started up a company. I named it Damsel in the Dugout, and I thought that was really clever.
It is clever.
It's, I actually needed that. It's kind of like a little purpose behind that is that, the saying is damsel in distress, and I wanted to flip it and go damsel in the dugout. I'm still a feminine woman. I still like to do all the girly things, but I also am an extremely powerful woman, in my position. And I've broken down a barrier. I've been given this opportunity, and it's okay to be both.
Absolutely.
And so I want to basically mostly female, but any young athlete really is just to tell them. I mean, I know it's cliche, but you literally can do anything just because there is. Isn't someone in that spot right now doing what you want to do doesn't mean that you can't be the first person to do that.
That's right.
I mean, it's really incredible. Like when I thought about being in professional baseball, it really didn't even cross my mind that I was a girl and I couldn't do it.
Right.
That didn't even cross my mind. It was just like, that's awesome. I'm going to do it. There's no plan B. There's only plan A. And that's all there is. And with Damsel in the Dugout, what I'm really trying to do is go and speak to young women about through athletics, through education, through getting a college scholarship with athletics, those kinds of things, really what you can accomplish. And it does set you in another category. You know, people who are college athletes, I think, are just a different breed.
Absolutely.
You know, while other people are going out, you know, to the bar and drunk, you're going to sleep at 8 o'clock because you can't even move from your workout today. Oh, no. Oh, by the way, you have to wake up at 5 for your next lift.
That's right.
You know, you're traveling. And while I was a college athlete, I was also working part-time on the side. I don't even know how I did it. Like, I look back and I'm like, oh, that's just crazy. But it taught me so much about discipline, time management, leadership, all of those intangibles that you just, you know, cannot put a price on. So using athletics in high school and college as an outlet or as a platform to, you know, translate into success in life.
Absolutely. Well, there's a good quote that says that, you know, the only way you don't accomplish your dreams is to give up on them, right? And
yep.
And that's the absolute truth in it. You know, we always end the show, Rach, with some resources here. So what is the best piece of coaching advice you've ever received?
I would have to say that's from Coach Moffitt at LSU. It's a quote. And he always says, coaching is teaching. Teaching is motivating others to learn.
Yep.
And that's something that I really carry close to my heart. I'm an educator. I'm a coach. You know, people ask me why I like being a strength coach. It's because I'm a coach. I get to affect young people and I get to educate them, you know, on what I'm passionate about. So that's something that I definitely, you know, I'm not a strength conditioning coach. I'm just another coach. I'm another extension of the head coach's arm and able to, you know, help the group, help the team in that way.
Absolutely.
So that would be something I'd say.
What about a quote that you use with your athletes, or maybe one that you use to just motivate yourself?
I have this on my Twitter page, actually. It's something that I obviously probably keep close to my heart because of the opportunity that I've been given, but it's don't downgrade your dreams to fit into other people's realities. Kind of goes along the line of, you know, don't listen to other people telling you to give up on their dream because they gave up on their dream a long time ago.
Absolutely.
And maybe they're just salty and bitter, and you just got to listen to your own self, really. You have to be so convicted. Do not let other people, you know, basically keep you in a box.
No doubt. No
doubt. You have to blaze your own trail and be very convicted about it, because there'll be plenty of people telling you not to do it.
Sure. What about a book, maybe inside strength conditioning and outside strength conditioning, that you recommend?
Let's see. Inside strength conditioning, kind of, this actually goes along the lines of what I was talking about earlier. There's a book called Endless Web. It's actually about fascial trains. It has nothing to do with, you know, lifting or anything like that.
Yeah.
But are you familiar with it, Ron?
Yeah, good book.
Yeah, so Endless Web, I really like. I've read that several times, and I'll actually add on to that with Anatomy Trains,
which is
a lot more popular, probably. Outside of strength and conditioning, there's a book called, this is a little off the beaten path as well, but there's a book called The Vortex, and it's really about creating your own reality, you know, which obviously I relate to strength and conditioning, but it's about basically owning your emotions, owning your actions, creating what you want in your life, you know, beyond what you would have ever thought possible.
Absolutely. So. That's your second one to recommend that one. So I got to check that one out. I haven't read that one.
Oh, really? Great.
What about, you know, an app and a website recommendation?
App wise, there's an app that I like called, it's just, I can't even remember the exact name, but it's a posture app, and I actually use it. So it's an objective way to measure posture, which
okay.
I'm like big into posture as it relates to shoulder health.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are, but it's just an app that I found very useful, that it gives you basically a grid, lines the guy up. And so it gives you how far the head is forward, how far the shoulder is forward in relation to, you know, whatever point you want to measure it against. So I really like that app, and I can't think of the exact name. It's the main part of the name is posture. So if you just look it up, I'm sure it'll pop up for you.
Sure.
What was the second part?
Website.
Oh, a website. I have to say I frequent Elite FTS,
mm-hmm.
but I think that's pretty generic.
No, it's a great one. Everybody references that one. It's lots of great stuff out there on there. And anything outside of strength conditioning website wise that you check out?
I'm a huge, like, I'm really into nutrition. So, trying to think of a good, Like, I basically, I'm like a, I cook at home, so I do a lot of recipes. I'm trying to get like a really good website. Awesome. I usually get my stuff off of just Facebook posting. Sorry, I'm kind of struggling here.
No, it's good. Well, Facebook's one and of its own, you know, and it can be, I always say it can be used for good or evil, right? And if you use it for good, it's a powerful tool.
Yeah, I just, like, I can't even think of a specific website, but I follow a lot of, like, Facebook, like, healthy recipes, basically, where, like, I'm into a lot of, like, adding, like, protein powder to stuff.
Yeah.
I can't even think of a specific nutrition website, but that's, you know, that's what I follow mostly.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, this has been fantastic and definitely motivating, and I really appreciate you coming on the show, not just sharing, you know, what your journey, but, you know, turn around and what you're doing in the profession, turn around trying to give back to young women, young ladies, is noble. And it's just one of those things where we're always, as strength coaches, we always want to, it's hard because you're working a 15, 16 hour day sometimes. And, you know, to try to, you know, to give back beyond what you're already doing, it's hard, you know, and it takes special people to do that. And so obviously you go on and taking the extra time, the time that you could be laying on the couch just relaxing and recovering from, you know, the job, you're going out and making a difference in another young person's life. And so it says a lot about your character and about what you're doing. You're obviously doing it the right way and having tremendous success. So pumped up to talk to you. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I mean, I'm so glad you contacted me, and I definitely, anything I can do to get the word out about, you know, young women or young athletes in general, really using it as a platform for their career and their life. I mean, that's wonderful. So I appreciate it.
Awesome. Well, have a great week.
Okay, thanks.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefrey. On Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.